Thanks for coming back to Yeshiva Zoom, the world's greatest yeshiva, the greatest Talmidim and Talmidos. Okay, so this Shabbos we're going to, Mirtz Hashem, study the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos. And the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos is made up of many, many lists. If you remember this parak, you'll recall that it's made up of many, a compilation of many lists. So for example, Ba'asara Ma'amaros, with 10 statements Hashem created the world. And the list says there were 10 generations from Adam until Noach. And then there was another 10 generations from Noach to Avraham. And then there were 10 tests of Avraham Avinu. And there were 10 miracles in Mitzrayim and another 10 by the Yam. It's made up of many, many, many lists, numbers and lists. And one of the lists that we encounter this Shabbos when we learn Pirkei Avos is the following. A list of the finishing touches of Maisa Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spent 6 days building a world and rested on Shabbos. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was just about ready to transition into Shabbos, the Mishnah says that Asara Dvarim Nivru'u Be'erev Shabbos Ve'en Hashmasos. There were 10 things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, Erev Shabbos, Ve'en Hashmasos. And what were those 10 things? Ve'elu Hein. Pi Ha'aretz. Pi Ha'aretz means the mouth of the earth. I have something dinging in the back, which I will make silent. Pi Ha'aretz, the mouth of the earth, which was used to swallow up Korach. Pi Ha'be'er, of the well, Miriam's well. Pi Ha'ason, the mouth of Bilam's donkey. Keshes, the rainbow. V'haman, and the man, the heavenly bread that was spelled for 40 years in the Midbar. V'hamateh, Moshe Rabbeinu's staff, which performed wondrous miracles. V'hashamir, the shamir worm, which was used to cut the rocks, used for building the Beis HaMikdash. V'haksav, v'hamichtav, v'haluchos, 8, 9, and 10, the letters, the writing, the tablets, which would, of course, make up the luchos. V'yesh omer, and some say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also created other things on Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShmashos, right at that transition point from Friday to Shabbos. Hashem created perhaps Mazikin, he created Shadim, demons. Kvuraso shel Moshe, Moshe's burial plot. Elo shel Avram Avinu, the ram that Avram would use to replace Yitzchak. A very fascinating list. V'yesh omrim af tzvas b'tzvas hasuya. Some say the first set of tongs, which would be used to make future tongs, was created. Because tongs are made by putting metal in the fire. Well, how are you going to hold it if you don't have that first set of tongs? I think that's one of the most interesting mamari chazal. If anyone has a good pshat on that. The tzvas b'tzvas ha'asuya, the tongs with which tongs were made. Okay, a fascinating list. But I want to think tonight about one particular thing on the list that I think is very relevant to us, particularly in everything that we're experiencing now. And I want to begin by just exploring, why were these things created then? Meaning, what is it about these things? Dafka as Hashem, you know, like, I don't want to speak for anyone else, but I can tell you that sometimes, once in a while, in our home Erev Shabbos, you know, there's a lot of last-minute things to do. So is this like this strange collection of things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the last minute just like forgot? Oh, like, I forgot to do this for Shabbos. Oh, I forgot to turn this light on. Oh, I forgot to check this or shut the light in the fridge. Right? Is this HaKadosh Baruch Hu's version of that? Oh, I forgot to make, there's going to be a Korach, I need to split the earth, so I forgot to make that. Oh, and I need that mouth of that talking donkey. Oh, and I better make the man that the Jews will be able to eat it for 40 years in the wilderness. It's a strange list. So to understand this list, and to really, to ask the question, what does it have to do with us? I mean, Pirkei Avos is supposed to inform our life. Why do I need to know these things where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's finishing touches of creation? How does that inform my life right now? What month are we in? I think it's May. May 2020, Tafshin Pei. Right, preparing for Shavuos, Haba Aleinu Letova. What does this do for me? Why do I need to know that these things were created Bein HaShmashos? So in order to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did on Erev Shabbos, we need to understand what is Erev Shabbos. Conceptually, what is the concept of Erev Shabbos? And how does that relate to us? So I guess to understand Erev Shabbos, we have to understand Shabbos. So what is Shabbos? What is the concept of Shabbos? We know the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos Daf Nun Zayin, two fascinating things about Shabbos. Shlosha me'ein ha'olam haba. There are three things which is a taste of the world to come. And the first one on the list is Shabbos. I leave it to you to look up the other two. Shabbos is a taste of the world to come. A Gemara also, Brachos, Daphnan Zion Amid Beis, a second Gemara right there on the same page. Chamisha Echad Mishishim. There are five things which are 1/60th of something else. Eish, fire. Fire, as we know, it is 1/60th of the fire of Gehenna. Dvash. Dvash, which is very sweet, is 1/60th of the sweetness of the man. Says the Gemara, Shabbos is on the list, and Shena, sleep, and dreams are the other two, rounding out the five. Fire, honey, Shabbos, sleep, and a dream are all 1/60th of some greater experience. What is Shabbos a taste of? Says the Gemara, what is Shabbos 1/60th of? Shabbos echad meishishim liolam hava. Shabbos is a taste of the world to come. That's what Shabbos is supposed to be. And that's why when we bench on Shabbos, we recite a special harachman. We long for that experience when Mashiach and Olam Haba, and again, I'm blurring the lines between Mashiach and Olam Haba, but we daven for that time, harachman hu yanchilenu yom shekulo Shabbos umenucha lechaye olam. We daven for the time when it won't just be a Shabbos for a 25-hour period, but it'll be a Shabbos that lasts forever. A Yom Shekulo Shabbos, Mashiach Olam Haba, is going to be this experience which is a Yom Shekulo Shabbos, an endless state of Shabbos. What's the source for that? What's the source for this harachaman that we include in our benching on Shabbos? It's really the last Mishnah in Meseches Tamid. The last Mishnah in Meseches Tamid is describing the Shir Shel Yom and telling us what Perek of Tehillim we recite on each day. And then it says, B'Shabbos Hayu Omri Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. And here's the Mishnah, Perek Zayin of Meseches Tamid. Mizmor Shir La'asid Lavo. The song of Shabbos is the song of the future. Liyom Shekulo Shabbos. When we'll finally get to experience Shabbos all the time. A little bit like what we're experiencing now on a certain level. Being in our homes so often. Right? So it's a taste of the world to come. But that world to come, that future world that we're longing for is a Yom Shekulo Shabbos. Menucha L'chaye Olamim. That's where the harachaman text comes from. It's that last Mishnah in Meseches Tamid. So Shabbos is a me'ein olam haba. Shabbos is a taste of Mashiach. Shabbos is a taste of the future. So if Shabbos is Mashiach, so what is Erev Shabbos? So the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us it must be that Erev Shabbos is the period right before Mashiach comes. And therefore, when you read this Mishnah, and again, each of the examples requires an in-depth analysis, you read this Mishnah about 10 things HaKadosh Baruch Hu created right before Shabbos. The 10 things on this list are supposed to inform the Jewish people right before Mashiach comes. And that's when we're living. That's where we're holding. We are the Ikvas of the Mashiach. We are that final generation before Mashiach's immediate arrival. Now, if you'll ask me, how do I know that's true? I mean, that's what we're supposed to hope. But for a long time, Jews have been saying that. Every Jew is supposed to feel that way. The Jews left Mitzrayim were also supposed to feel that Mashiach is imminent, that any second Mashiach had come. The Jews who lived during Bayis Rishon felt that way. The Jews who lived during Bayis Sheni felt that way. We're 2,000 years past the destruction of Bayis Sheni. Why do I speak with confidence to say that we are the generation that will usher in Mashiach? Well, my friends, the clock is ticking. The Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah says on Daf Tes Amud Aleph that there are 6,000 years, which is the period of time for which the world, as we know it, this world, before we transition to La'asid Lavo, the Olam Haba, this world is meant to last no more than 6,000 years. Tana Debei Eliyahu, Sheshas Alafim Shana, Havei HaOlam. This world is meant to last for 6,000 years. The Gemara says the first 2,000 years was a waste of time. It was Tohu. We couldn't get our act together. A lot of problems in the world. The next Shnei Alafim, the next 2,000 years, Torah. That was the primary years of the development of Torah, of the codification of Halacha. Not that we're still learning Torah, and not that we, we're still shayach to the first 2,000 years when people wasted a lot of time and got into a lot of trouble, right? But the primary failure of the universe was those first 2,000 years. The primary years of developing success in Torah were those middle 2,000 years, and the last 2,000 years are supposed to be what we call Mashiach, the period that really precedes Olam Haba, the world to come. And the Gemara laments the fact, the Gemara already laments the fact, Ba'avonoseinu sharabu, because of our many sins, many of the years of Mashiach have already been lost. In other words, we should have brought Mashiach long ago, and we're missing out on this period. We sort of, we booked this time from the beginning of creation that this period was going to be Mashiach. we haven't figured out how to get that to happen yet. And Chazal lament the fact that Chaval, because of our sins, what's lost is lost. But we're in the year 5,780 from creation, which means we're pretty close to the end. And therefore, again, when we read this Mishnah about what Hashem did on Erev Shabbos, in the waning moments of Erev Shabbos, as we're about to transition into Shabbos, we need to pay close attention to this Mishnah. This Mishnah is the mission statement, so to speak, for the Jews of the Ikvus of the Mashiach. We need to think about what the lesson of the Pi Ha'aretz is. The Pi Ha'aretz which swallowed up Korach for disregard for the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe that's a lesson we need to think about. Respecting our poskim, our Rabbanim, respecting Torah authority. Right? The Pi Ha'be'er, the Well of Miriam, what's that supposed to teach us? To think about each of these things on the list and ask, what do these have to do with my life in these days before Mashiach's arrival? So again, like I said, each one deserves a lot of time and a lot of concentration and a lot of analysis, but I want to pick one on the list, which I think is very timely, and that is the Mun. I want to talk about the Mun tonight. Several lessons that we can learn from the Mun. And I say it's timely because this week in Jewish history was when the Jewish people actually, that magical food that appeared, you know, at our doorsteps for 40 years in the wilderness, the Jewish people started eating the Mun on Lag BaOmer. Let's work out the math a little bit. The Chassam Sofer tells us, we have a tradition, the Chassam Sofer writes it in a tshuva, in Yoredei Simen Reish Lamed Gimel, that it was on Lag BaOmer the Jewish people first had the opportunity to eat the heavenly bread called Mun. And he bases it on the Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Bishalach that the Jews traveled from a place called Elim, and they came to Midbar Sin. Asher ben Elim ubein Sinai, which was a midway point. Sin was the midway point, somewhere in between Elim and Sinai. And they arrived there when? B'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh hasheni l'tzeisa me'eretz v'tzrayim. On the second month, on the 15th day, they arrived in Midbar Sin, the second month, the 15th day, from leaving Mitzrayim. So says the Chassam Sofer, what does that mean? When did they arrive? They arrived on the 15th of Iyar. The Chassam Sofer says, by the 16th of Iyar, the Jews were already complaining. The Jews complained, Rabbona Sholem, we missed the food, we had good food in Mitzrayim. Which is a big, it's such a wonderment that they could say such a thing. But by the next morning already, they were complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The next day, the 17th of Iyar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, tomorrow, I'm going to provide you with food. So they arrive on the 15th, they complain on the 16th, Hashem responds on the 17th, and the Mun begins to fall on the 18th of Iyar, better known to us as Lag BaOmer. That is the explanation of the Chassam Sofer for when the Mun began, based on that pasuk in Bishalach Perek Tes Zayin. Now the question is, why did the Mun start to fall on Lag BaOmer? As the Maharal writes in several places, Dvarim Gedolim Einam B'Mikra. It's not happenstance. There's a reason that Purim's in other, there's a reason that we got the Torah in Sivan. There's a reason that we mourn the Beis HaMikdash in Tammuz and Av. There's a reason that the Mun first entered our world on Lag BaOmer. And the question is why? What's the connection between Lag BaOmer and the Mun? So I mentioned earlier this week in a shir that I gave to the women of Stern College, that there's a well-known minug, to play bow and arrow on Lag BaOmer. You've heard of this before? What's that about? Where does that come from? So I saw an amazing shot from a sefer called Azor Elio. He says that when you have a bow and arrow, so you take the arrow in your hand, and you pull back on the string of the bow, right? You pull it back towards you most of the way, and then you let it go. So he said the truth is, if you're an expert archer, you'll notice that you pull two-thirds of the arrow towards you, and one-third of the arrow remains beyond the bow, right? And that gives it the greatest thrust, with control at the same time. So on Lag BaOmer, we play with a bow and arrow, because we're saying that Sfiras HaOmer, two-thirds has been taken to us, but there's still one-third to go. The Svarim talk a lot about the breakup of the Sfira. There's 32 days, and then there's another 17 days, for a total of 49 days, right? The Lev days, the 32 days, and then the Tov days, the latter 17 days. So from Lag BaOmer until Kabbalah Satorah, that's so to speak, that's the part of the arrow that's going to hit the target. Two-thirds we've pulled towards us, but that last third is now in position to be launched. So says the Ezer Elio, these 17 days from Lag BaOmer until we arrive at Har Sinai and receive the Torah once again, These 17 days, Begamatria Tov, as Chazal say, Ein Tov El Torah, these are the main days of preparing for Torah. The main days to prepare for Kabbalah Satorah. Says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the Medrash, amazing, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the one who teaches us, Lo Nitna Torah Lidrosh Ela La'ochle Haman, who is going to have the opportunity to study Torah, to analyze Torah, to be Oseg Batorah, those who eat the man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu fed us the man in the wilderness as a way of preparing us to receive the Torah. Says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, HaKetzad, right, what does that mean? HaYeyoshev v'doresh v'lohay yodeya mehechan ochel v'shosa. A person is sitting and learning, he's expounding the Torah, and he's wondering, where's my food going to come from? Where's my clothing going to come from? Says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, not to worry. That's why Hashem gave the Torah to people who didn't worry about food, who didn't worry about clothing, who didn't worry about transportation. Everything was taken care of them. So on Lag BaOmer, Rabbi Shimon's day, the same Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai who declared that the Torah is given to those who eat the man, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's day is the day that the man first came into the world. On Yud Ches Iyar, says the Chassam Sofer, the man arrived in the life of Klal Yisrael. Rav Gedal Yeshua writes in the Or Gedaliah, in a certain sense, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai could be considered someone who ate the man. What does that mean? The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai sat in this cave for a really long time. For years and years and years and years, sitting in the cave. Sitting in the cave. And what was he eating in the cave? You know, where did he get his deliveries from? Grandin Essex, Cedar Market, Uber Eats. How did he get his groceries? The answer is he didn't. He had a spring of water that was flowing. He had a carob tree, Rachmana Litzlan, and for 13 years he sat there, right, drinking water and eating charuvin, eating carob. Which, by the way, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos is like, carob's a bad idea. It's not a good food. You know, we suffer through it maybe a little bit on Tu B'Shvat, but that's not the way to go. Carob's not the way to go. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is sitting there, right, drinking water and eating the same food every single day. Writes Rav Gedalia Shur in the Or Gedalia on Lag BaOmer, because he was a person who was, so to speak, eating the man. He was in that world of eating the man. So how fitting it is that Rabbi Shimon's yahrzeit, and according to some, Rabbi Shimon's birthday, and according to some, the day that he walked out of the cave, like the Aruch HaShulchan brings a tradition that he left the cave on Lag BaOmer, how fitting it is that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the one who, on his day, the one who teaches us that Lo Nitna Torah El La'ochle Haman, as we make that final stretch, those last 17 days to prepare for Shavuos, how fitting it is that the man begins to descend into the world on Rabbi Shimon's day. Because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai understood that a Jew has the ability to choose the man, to choose a life of the man. After all, isn't it Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai who walked out of the cave? And yes, he gets rebuked for it. But when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai walked out of the cave that first time and he sees people plowing and planting, he says, what are you wasting your time with this stuff? Just sit and learn. Hashem will take care of you. It's not an easy approach. Right? The Gemara in Mesechus Brachos, Daf Lamed Hey, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, you just learn and learn and learn and Hashem will take care of you. Rabbi Yishmael disagreed. Rabbi Yishmael is maybe a more realistic approach, maybe the more appropriate approach. But the worldview of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was, I'm a man eater. I'm a person who relies on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of it. So now we come back to our Mishnah in Avos. That one of the 10 things created Erev Shabbos, again, as we're sitting here in these days when we first tasted the man, the days from Lag BaOmer to Shavuos, are days where we prepare, we have to become eaters of man, like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the one who, so to speak, in a certain sense, brought the man to the world, which preceded creation, was created to be the ultimate eater of the man, right? To be able to create after the man, this experience of eating the man. So we have to do the same. We have to be ochle haman. We have to be eaters of the man. So I want to share with you 4 lessons, again, to celebrate the man that was created Erev Shabbos. It's Erev Shabbos right now. It's Thursday night, which is Erev Shabbos. I want to think, again, in the context of everything that we've been going through, spending so much time in our homes, seeing a world of so much uncertainty with this crazy coronavirus business that we're all so tired of. I want to share with you 4 lessons of the man that can help us to become ochle haman, eaters of the man, and prepare ourselves for the Yom Tov Shavuos. Number 1, the simplest lesson of the man is the one that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai just taught us. And that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can provide for us. We're living in a time of, you read some of these articles, from these very, very chashuv economists and you know, people who really understand finance and understand the stock market and the trends and what's happening with Bitcoin, you know, the halving this week, for those who are following that, right? And it's a time of such economic uncertainty. And people are bugging out, understandably so. People are struggling personally. People's businesses are collapsing. People are wondering when they're going to be able to get back to work. Our shuls, our yeshivas are running all sorts of, you know, desperation campaigns, and rightfully so, because there's this terrible economic uncertainty that's hanging over us. But the most basic lesson that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai tried to convey to the world as one of the greatest mun eaters of all time is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can provide. That is the lesson of the mun. In Parshas B'Shalach, Klal Yisrael is told, Moshe Rabbeinu is told the following. Vayomer Moshe, Zeh Adavar Asher Tziva Hashem. Moshe conveys the message to the Jewish people, here's what Hashem has asked of me, has asked of us. Melo haomer mimenu l'mishmeres l'dorosam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us, Zeh Adavar. This, you see this? We're going to put aside some mun. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to save mun as a mishmeres. You know, it's like as a zecher. Leman yiru es halechem asher achalti eschem b'midbar b'hotzi eschem eretz Yitzrayim. I want you future generations to know that this thing actually existed. We kept the mun. We had a flask of mun. Vayomer Moshe el Aaron, kach sinsenes achas, take a flask, an earthenware flask, as Rashi explains, v'tein shama meloha omer mun, and fill it up with a portion of mun, an omer's worth of mun, right? An omer is the amount of mun that they would take. Pasuk says, omer legilgoles, a mun per head. Interesting, the word, right? Lagilgoles, it's lag. It's also a little remez, perhaps, to lag ba'omer. So take that melo omer, take that omer portion of mun, put it in this flask, v'hanach oso lifnei Hashem l'mishmeres lidoro seichem. Put it in a safe place for future generations to see. Lidoro seichem. Explains Rashi in Parshas B'Shalach. Who's that flask for? You know, again, we started off by saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the mun, Erev Shabbos, for us Jews before the coming of Mashiach. Who's the flask for? Who needs to learn the lesson of the mun? The Erev Shabbos Jews, those Jews right before we transition to Yom Shekulo Shabbos. Put it aside, Lidoro Seichem, explains Rashi. B'yamei Yirmiyo. Already in the times of Yirmiyo, when people were struggling with their faith, can God provide? Kishahaya Yirmiyo Mochicham, and Yirmiyo is saying to them, Hashem provides your pranasa. It doesn't matter how many hours you work. I'm not saying you shouldn't work. It's a delicate sugya, bitachon, eshtadlus. We have to do our part. It's part of the curse of Adam Rishon. But Yirmiyo saw people losing themselves, trying to get another deal and a side hustle, and trying to find all different ways to have my business and my side business and another business, and worrying about how am I going to take it to the next level. If I have a million, I want 2 million. If I have 2 million, I want 4 million. And Yirmiyo says, you people, what are you doing? What are you doing? Lama inatem oskim b'Torah. What happened to the focus of our existence? V'heim omrim, and they said back to Yirmiyo. Yirmiyo always suffered at the hands of everyone, basically. They said to Yirmiyo, what are you talking about? Naniach malachtenu v'nasok b'Torah. You're unrealistic. What are you saying? We should abandon our work to study Torah. Mehechan nisparnes. What's going to be with our parnasa? Hotzi lahem tzenzenes haman v'amar lahem. Yirmiyo Anavi took out, mamish. This is not a metaphor. He took out the flask of mun. I don't know where it is today. But he took out the flask of mun. Va'amar lahem, take a look, Yirmiyo Perek Beis. Hador atem ra'u dvar Hashem. Generation, I want you to ra'u dvar Hashem. See the word of God. Not just hear the word of God. I want you to see it. Shim'u lo namar, says Rashi. El ra'u, I want you to see it with your eyes. Bizen isparnesu avoseichem. This is how we survived for 40 years in the wilderness. Harbe shluchen yesh lamakom, la'achin mazon li'rayav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many, many messengers. Hashem has many, many ways to provide sustenance to those who fear Him. And therefore, this tzenzenes haman, this critical message, you know where it was kept? What did the pasuk say? Where do we put it? Hanach oso lifnei Hashem. Rashi says they kept it alongside the aron. It sat there alongside, because these are the fundamentals of Yiddishkeit. My parnasa is not my parnasa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for me. So the first lesson that we have to learn, and again, maybe for some of us, we're experiencing it more intensely than ever before, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can provide and will provide. And all the economic uncertainty, we have to mechazek ourselves in that inyan of the man, again, created Erev Shabbos, dafka for the ikvas of the Mashiach Jews, for people like ourselves. Lesson number one. Lesson number two, and for me, I think this is, I'm not sure why I put them in this order, but I think this one in some ways is the most important one, and the one that resonates with me on a certain level in the strongest way. The man forces you to ask the question, how much do you really need? What's considered a need? We live in a generation, people feel so entitled today. People sometimes act so needy today. People are so demanding of Hashem, of their spouse, of their children, of their boss, of others. We become so needy. We think that we need things. But the lesson of the man is, what do you really need? And what do you want? Rav Matizyahu Salomon, one time, the great mashgiach from Lakewood Yeshiva, you should be healthy and well, Rav Matizyahu one time was giving a shiur in Midtown Manhattan. And after the shiur, it was in a law office or whatever, with some firm, and he went to Daven Mincha. There was a mincha in this building in Midtown Manhattan. And it was Tuesday of Parshas Beshalach, Parshas Haman, it's a segula, you recite Parshas Haman every day. But there was this young fellow, trying to make partner at his law firm, a young guy. And he's standing there a few minutes before Mincha, and he's reciting Parshas Haman. An older Jew walks in, about 50 years his senior, and he sees this young fellow, and he sees, Tuesday, Parshas Beshalach, it's a segula, And he looks at him and he sees, he's saying that he's got his, he's saying Parshas Haman. So he says, he says, young guy. He says, Parshas Haman, huh? Tuesday, Parshas Beshalach, Parshas Haman. He says, let me tell you something, my friend. He said, I've been saying Parshas Haman for the last 50 years. Garnished helfen. It's not going to do anything. But Matisyahu Salomon said, when he heard that, and he said, it's not his, the person who told me this story said that Rav Matisyahu is not the type to jump in and to put a person in their place like this. Rav Matisyahu said, I'm sorry, what did you say? So he said, yeah, I've been saying Parshas Haman for 50 years, garnished helfen. So Rav Matisyahu says to him, what do you think the man was? You think the man was like some get-rich-quick scheme? The man was a way of turning your millions into billions? What was the man? The man was breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The man was food for you to eat for that day and only for that day. So Rav Matizyahu said to this fellow, and it was clear from the way he was dressed and the firm that he worked in, even though he wasn't in, Forbes top 50, he was clearly a person of means, but he had demyonos about what it meant to be successful in his own head. He's got his eye on 10 million, and he only has, Rachman al-Itzlan, 2.5 million. So Rav Matizyahu said to him, can I ask you something? The last 50 years of your life that you've been saying Parshas Haman, was there ever a day in your life that you pasha didn't have food to eat? You had nothing to eat? You went to the fridge? You went to the cabinets? There was literally nothing to eat? So the fellow at this point is very embarrassed. He says, no, Rabbi, of course not. So Rav Matizyahu says to him, so how could you say garnished helfen? What do you think the man was? The man was a Kadosh Baruch Hu's way of saying, let's talk about needs and let's talk about wants. We've had these last few months to reassess what is called a need and what is a desire. Or maybe to use the language that's being used in the marketplace of ideas, what is considered essential and what is non-essential? What work is essential? What is non-essential? What activities are essential and what is non-essential? And people talk a lot. We're not even sensitive to the words coming out of our mouth. Oh, I, this coronavirus thing is making me crazy. I really need to. You need to what? What do you need to do? Fill in your blank. What do you need? I need my cup of coffee in the morning. I also enjoy a cup of coffee in the morning. But you don't need it. You may really want it. You might think you need it, right? I'm sure some people are going to raise their hand now and say it's not true. You've crossed the line, right, with some of us. Right? But what's a need? How do we define a need? And how do we define the want? And that's what the man helps us to think about. What do I really need to get through the day? And do I have it? And if I do, what am I complaining about? Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers them the man, and immediately thereafter, they're complaining about the man. When we were in Mitzrayim, we had it so good, you brought us to the desert to starve. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give you the man as a test. It's a pasuk in Chumash. B'shalach perek tes zayin. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Again, going back to that pasuk, Chassam Sofer was cheshbening earlier. Hashem says to Moshe, tomorrow I'm going to make the man fall down to this world, and I'm going to give the Jews the man, leman anasenu hayelech besorasi imlo, to test them to see if they're going to follow the Torah. What was the test of the man? So Rashi says the test of the man was, are you going to follow Hilchos Haman? Right? Are you going to follow the halachos that govern the man? There were rules about the man. What were the rules of the man? You're not allowed to leave it over. You're only allowed to collect so much. You take a double portion on Erev Shabbos. Are you going to follow the rules of the man? Right? That's Rashi, Pashup Pshat. The Svarno explains differently. The Svarno says no. The Svarno says Hashem was testing them. When your food is provided for you, when your needs are taken care of, and now you have all this free time because you're not, you know, running to work in the morning. So what are you going to do with all your free time? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides your livelihood, when bread is falling out of the Shemayim, this wondrous food that they're complaining about, it's compared to the Ziv HaShchina Shenis Gashim, the Ramban says. It's edible Shchina, whatever that means. It's the food of angels, as it's referred to and explained by the Gemara in Yoma. And yet they're complaining about it. So Hashem says it's a test. The Svarno says the test is, when you have everything you need, right? How do you respond? But they weren't affluent. Having everything they need, you shouldn't picture, you know, people of great means. They had their daily portion. But the test of the man was like Rav Matisyahu Solomon told that fellow, do I appreciate that I have my needs? Or am I so busy worrying about the things that I don't have, the things that I want, the things I desire? And I'm not saying there are things you shouldn't desire. Maybe they're perfectly acceptable desires. They're human desires. They're normal. We would all love to travel a bit right now, to get out a bit right now. But I need to say that I need to. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, let me teach you something. Let me show you what a need is. Right? You got your breakfast, you got your lunch, you got your dinner, whatever. You can make it through the day. You have enough money in your bank account to literally make it through the day. You're in good hands. And appreciate that. And don't be someone who complains because they've confused what's essential and what's non-essential. There's a great woman who often says, I have what I need, and I need what I have. And it's really true. I have what I need. I have what I need. Hashem gives me what I need, and I need what I have. It goes in both directions. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you is what you need. And if you don't have it, it's because you don't need it. Lesson number two from the man. A third lesson for us to think about and to reflect on when we think about the man, and again, its unique relationship with everything we're experiencing right now, and again, how the man was given and created on Erev Shabbos, dafka for Jews like ourselves. The value of learning to take life one day at a time. I know it's a little bit connected to the previous point, but I want to explain it based on another comment of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, again, whose birthday and yahrzeit was the first day that the man came to the world, before there was a Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. To take life one day at a time, and to think about what does that do for my relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? How does that impact the way that I connect to God? Right now, we don't know what the rules are going to be tomorrow, or next week, or in a month from now. I was speaking to someone earlier today, they're trying to figure out, they're planning a wedding, they're trying to figure things out. We don't know. And we like to know. As human beings, we like to know. I like to know what my week looks like. I like to go to sleep at night knowing what my tomorrow looks like. I like to know what my summer plans are. I like to know what my kids are doing for school next year. Right? There are basic things that we like to know, and there are assumptions that we make, and we're used to, you know, often those realities and assumptions become true, and if I'm an organized person, I have my calendar, and I know what my schedule looks like, and now there's so much uncertainty. And we kind of have to, we're forced, so to speak, to take life one day at a time. But what does that do for our relationship with Hashem? It does such a wondrous thing. The Gemara in Yoma, on Daf Ayin Vav Mem Aleph, says that the students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, again, apparently he was the master of Man, the students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai asked the Rebbe, Yoma Ayin Vav Mem Aleph, Rebbe, Shalu Talmidav es Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Mipnei ma lo yarad lehem li Yisrael man pam achas b'shana? Why did Hashem bother to send the man every single day? Why did Hashem send a supply of man for the year? Or for the month? Or for the week? So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said back to them, it's a good question. Let me give you a mashal. Mashal lema davar dome. Says Rabbi Shimon, you can explain with a parable. Lemelech baser v'dam sheyesh lo ben echad. There was a king who had a single child. Pasuk lo mizonosav pam achas b'shana. He used to give his son his allowance for the year. He gave him the credit card and he said, you know, I'll see you next year. And that's exactly what happened. Lo hayamakbil pnei aviv. Once he had dad's credit card, He didn't come by to visit the palace very much. He was covered. He didn't need to come to ask for his weekly or daily allowance. So the father decided, you know what, this isn't working. I want to have a relationship with my son. So says Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the king decided, Amaru pasak mizonosav b'chol yom. He decided from now on, you get your food each day. And that way, hayamakbil p'nei aviv kol yom. He would come to visit his father every single day. Part of the message of the man is to be able to make sure, and that's what the man forced upon us. And maybe now it's an opportunity for us to revisit that. How often am I checking in with the Kaddish Baruch Hu? Am I really checking in with the Kaddish? I know we daven every day. We daven. But am I really checking in? Do I feel like I come to Hashem and I get my daily assignment? That I get my daily handout? Right? Am I able to live day to day in my relationship with Hashem? Because the king wants to have a relationship with his son. Rav Meir of Premishlan once famously wondered, and other tzaddikim have this comment as well, when the Nachash is cursed back in Bereishis Paragimel, Orur ata mikol abahemo, mikol chayas asada, al gachoncha telech va'ofer tochal kol yimei chayecha. What kind of curse is that? The snake is going to be the most cursed of all the creatures. It's going to crawl around on its stomach, va'ofer tochal kol yimei chayecha, and it's going to eat dirt for its entire life. Dirt is everywhere. The snake never has to worry about where is he going to find, you know, a kosher meal when he's stranded in some airport on a layover on a business trip. Right? He doesn't have to think twice. Dirt's everywhere. It's abundant. It's free. It's available. What kind of curse, asked Rav Meir of Premishlan, and again, other tzaddikim as well, other Hasidic rebbes asked the same question. What is the curse of the Nachash? That he's given as much food as he wants? And the tzaddikim explained that's the biggest curse in the world. The biggest curse in the world is a Kadosh Baruch Hu giving you, so to speak, his credit card and saying, have a nice life. Maybe I'll meet you on the other side. The biggest bracha in the world is a Kadosh Baruch Hu saying, I know it's hard to take it one day at a time, but it's a way of being with you. It's my way of you being with me. I'm scared that if I give you too much at once, you're just going to run off and I'm never going to see you again. So the opportunity of what we're going through right now, not being able to plan weeks in advance, not being able to plan months in advance, right? Not even being able to plan from really one day to the next, sort of being forced to be in the moment and to deal with it as it comes. That's the life of the man. But again, lo nitnu Torah el ochlei man. The Torah is given to those who eat the man. And if we absorb these lessons well, then we'll be able to prepare ourselves so well for Matan Torah, haba aleinu l'tova. And last but not least, a final point that I want to make about the man. And with this, we'll wrap up. I've mentioned many, many times the Shabbaton that took place when Rav Shimon Schwab was a young man and he came to visit the Chavetz Chaim. It was in the year 1930. It was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, I believe. Shabbos Mevarchim Chodesh Nisan, Parshas Vayakel Pekudei. In the year 1930, Chavetz Chaim passed away in 1933. So the Chavetz Chaim was mamish one of the Ziknei Yisrael, and a young Rav Shimon Schwab came to spend Shabbos with him, and we know about it because Rav Schwab wrote about it in his Sefer on Chumash, the Mayan Beis HaShoeva. And over Shabbos, there were different conversations that he had with the Holy Chafetz Chaim. So in Parshas B'Shalach, Rav Schwab records one of those conversations. And the conversation went like this. On Rav Schwab's end, the answer to all the Chafetz Chaim's questions was always the same, which was complete silence. I'm terrified to try to answer the Chafetz Chaim's questions. But the Chafetz Chaim asked him at one point, he asked the people at his table, he said, you know, we know that the man could taste like anything you wanted it to taste like. Amazing. An amazing food. The Chafetz Chaim wondered, he said, what would happen if you didn't think about any particular food? It's a whole discussion actually in the Medrash and in the Rishonim about did you have to verbalize what you wanted it to taste like? Was it enough to just think it? It has nafkaminas in terms of, you know, preparing your man on Shabbos itself, right? Like, if on Erev Shabbos I had in mind for chulent, and then Shabbos lunch I got in the mood for grilled chicken or whatever, could I mentally change it, or verbally change it? Right? Okay, it's a discussion in the Medrash. Did I have to verbally declare what I wanted to taste like? Could I just think what I wanted it to taste like? Could it taste not kosher? All sorts of interesting questions. But the Chafetz Chaim said, what if you didn't think? What if you just popped some man in your mouth? What if you weren't thinking when you ate the man? What did it taste like? So what would you say? I'll tell you what I would have said. I probably would have not answered as well, like Rav Shimon Schwab. But if I had if my friend asked me the question, not the Chafetz Chaim, I would say, what do you mean? It says in the Chumash what it tasted like. The Chumash tells us the default setting of the man is some type of honey wafer, right? Some type of sweet pastry, it sounds like. I'm not sure exactly. Right? But the Chumash gives a description of what it was like. I would assume that was the default setting. And if you wanted a steak and fries, you had in mind for a steak and fries. The Chavetz Chaim said to the people at his table, no, that's not. I don't think that's it. The Chavetz Chaim said, B'zeh HaLashon. Rav Schwab quotes it in Parshas Peshalach. Oz mitracht nisht, hotes kentam nisht. Rav Schwab said, if you don't think, then it doesn't taste. If you don't put your head into the mun, if you don't try to think about what you want the mun experience to be for you, then you know what it's going to taste like? Nothing. And that's a scary thought for us to think about. As hopefully, we're getting closer and closer to the end of this whole experience of living this mun existence that we're going through now. In certain ways, the lessons of the mun are so much what we've been experiencing. And again, from these days of Lag BaOmer, we're supposed to be Ochlei HaMan to prepare for Kabbalah Satorah. If you don't think about the lesson of the mun, right? And the Chavetz Chaim says, if you don't think about the taste of the mun, but if we don't think about the lesson of the mun, you know what's going to happen? It's going to taste like nothing. As I mentioned a couple weeks ago, you walk out of coronavirus thinking about all the changes you're going to make. You're exactly the same. And that would be tragic because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shaking the world up right now. The Chavetz Chaim said, if you don't think about it, it doesn't taste like anything. The power of the mind in general, the Chavetz Chaim said, and the same thing is true about Mashiach. The Chavetz Chaim said, a person who doesn't put his mind into thinking, what's Mashiach going to feel like? What's Mashiach going to taste like? When's Mashiach going to arrive already? Mashiach's going to come, and you know what it's going to mean to you? A whole lot of nothing, said the Chavetz Chaim. That's a scary thought from the Chavetz Chaim in 1930. You have to decide what you want the mun to taste like. And I think the opportunity we've been given, again, in a difficult way, but these last number of weeks, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, what do you want your life to be? Because it's not going to be your community on a certain level. You don't have a community right now. It's not going to be your shul. It may not be your place of employment because you may not be going into work. Right? What is it? What are the things that make up your life? What do you want your life to be? Because right now you've been backed into a corner and Hashem says, I want you to think about it. I want you to think, what do you want your life to taste like? And if you don't think, it's not going to taste like anything. And you're going to have missed out on the opportunity. And God forbid, Mashiach could be the same thing. When we were ready to leave Mitzrayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, I'm about to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. What's your name, God? What should I tell them? And Moshe Rabbeinu is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ehayeh asher ehayeh, Eka asher Eka. I will be what I will be. And Rashi has this pshat, and the Farshim have their pshat, the Nitziv in the Hemek Davar. Says, you know what it means? Ehayeh asher ehayeh, Ein haofen barur kais. I can't answer that question right now. God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, who are you, God? Tell me, who are you? What is our relationship going to look like? You know what Hashem's response is? As Moshe is about to introduce Hashem to the Jewish people, and they say, oh, who is this God? What's he like? I don't have a clue. Ain't a open bar case. I can't answer that question, Hashem says. Mishum shezeh toloi b'achonas ha-mekablim. Because your relationship with Hashem is going to be so much about what do you want it to be? What does your mind want it to be? What does your heart want it to be? If you don't put your mind into it, it's not going to taste like anything. And that's the lesson of the month. So my friends, again, there's 10 things that were created Erev Shabbos, and I think each one of them is a lesson for us. We are the Erev Shabbos Jews. Mashiach is coming, and Shabbos is that world, the Yom Shekulo Shabbos, that's Mashiach. But if we're in Erev Shabbos, and we're thinking about what Hashem created last minute, it wasn't Hashem forgot a few things and threw them together at the last second. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us a mission statement for these days. And they were created Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmashos. So I'll end with a bracha. Bein HaShmashos, there's different opinions in the Gemara and Shabbos. How long is Bein HaShmashos? Is it a longer period of time, a shorter period of time? One of the opinions is that Bein HaShmashos is what is Keharif Ayin. It happens like this. It's this point between day and night that happens instantaneously. It's Keharif Ayin. It happens like the blink of an eye. But we know, Yeshua's Hashem Keharif Ayin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's salvation and kindness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability to change the world is also Keharif Ayin. We experienced it in a negative way, how quickly things change in our world. But all the more so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do it in a positive way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give it back to us, clarifying. So if the mun was created on Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShmashos, it's part of Hashem's way of saying, I know this seems like a big task, but you know what? If you put your heart and you put your mind to it, you can make changes in your life, mamish like that. And we have to daven that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought this pandemic upon the world so swiftly and so suddenly, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to take it away and to help us transition from that Erev Shabbos of the Ikvas of the Mashicha to the Yom Shekulo Shabbos with Mashiach B'mehera B'Yameinu Amen. Everyone should have an amazing Shabbos. Don't forget to daven Maariv and count Sfiras HaOmer.